right. What's up, Key Point Church? Man, I hope you're ready to hear the word today. I am ready to give it. Y'all ready for some word? Come on, need a little better amen than that, all right? Man, aren't you glad to be in the house of God today? 2020, we start off the new year. Got me a new little platform. I don't know if I'm going to use it or not. I'm kind of afraid to step down. I may trip. Don't want to embarrass myself in front of you, but anyway, I want to welcome you. Glad you're here. It's been an amazing Sunday, and I want you to turn with me in your Bible to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Yeah, thank you. Come on, we're getting into the Word. Man, that's what we're here for. We're not here to hear public opinion, to hear what they say or he says or she says, but what God's Word says. Amen. And before we get into God's word, be praying for a few of our people. They are in Cambodia. Pastor Jared, our missions pastor, left on the 1st, and they made it to Cambodia. They're doing some work there with some organizations that we financially support, and they'll be coming back in several days. Also, I want to encourage you to pray about the Israel trip. I've been to Israel several times, and every time I go, it's like seeing the Bible in high def. I would encourage you to go. It's going to be an amazing trip this coming up summer. Go ahead and get signed up for that. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word today. Lord, give us an excitement for your word. Lord, let me be excited when I crack open my Bible or turn on my phone to my Bible app and read your word, Lord, because your word has the potential to change me if I allow it. So right now at the 12 o'clock service, here we are. We've got about 30 more minutes until we leave. So, Lord, speak to us. Come on, right there where you're sitting. Say, God, speak to me. I want to hear your word today. I need to hear your voice. I need clarity. I need a decision to be made. I need confirmation. Whatever it is, God, I lean into you. And, Lord, I'm telling you right now, I'm a candidate for you to move in my life. I need you. Come on, open up your heart and your mind and just say, God, I am a candidate for you to move in my life. I need you. I am not good enough. I'm not strong enough. And I'm not smart enough. I need you to help me in 2020. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Come on, I need a better amen now. Come on now. All right now. I want to talk for a few moments today on the word that I really believe the Holy Spirit has been teaching me. Something I've been developing in 2019, and I believe it's going to help us all in 2020, and it's the word resiliency. Resiliency. And here's the title of my message, and I want you to look to your neighbor and tell them the title. Say, neighbor. I'm going to say, neighbor, after all that. After all that. Now look to the other neighbor and say, after all that, all right? Now, I don't know what you went through in 2019, but after all that, I'm still here at church, all right? After all that, you made it. One of my favorite pictures that has gone viral is a picture of a big bird. They're going to put it up on the screen. It's a big bird, and it's trying to swallow this frog, all right? Let me tell you who you are in that picture. You're that frog. That's you right there. That's me, all right? But you know what I like about that frog? He's saying, no, 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 not today, all right? You may be bigger than me. You may be hungrier than I am, but you ain't going to swallow me, all right? I'm resilient, and I'm going to keep on fighting another year. That's it right there. And if I could name this message title another message, which I can because it's my message, all right? Here it is right here, all right? Never say uncle. Don't you dare cry uncle. Don't you dare cry uncle, because I know there's been some things in your life, especially in 2019, that didn't go as planned. You started off 2019 thinking this is going to be the year, this is the year, this is the year, this is the year. Maybe you had a dream to get down to your fifth grade weight. Mm-hmm. Come on, somebody. Like 62 pounds. You know, you're 6'7 now. That's probably not going to work, all right? But on your way to the gym, you blew out a knee driving. I mean, you're just driving. You're just hitting the brakes. And you blew out your knee. Oh, you know. Maybe you had a desire, because we teach on it, just as Pastor Zach taught about it. Maybe you thought, you know what, I'm going to tithe this year. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to see what it's like to trust God with the 90%. I'm going to give over and above that. And what do you know it? Your AC goes out in the middle of the night. Now, I don't know why the AC goes out in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. and starts blowing hot air, but that's how it happens, all right? Why can't it go out in the middle of the day, like at 8 a.m., so I can call the AC guy and have him there to repair before noon? It never happens like that. It never happens. Or here's one I hear often. Pastor Casey, we finally went to marriage counseling. I finally talked her into it, or I finally talked him into it, and we finally went. And we went back again, and we went back for the third time, and we have not seen the desired changes that we were looking for. In fact, some of you even went so far to even get divorce papers. But after all that, come on, somebody say, after all that. I made it. Now, on a different note, I like to work out. Come on, all y'all in here who like to go work out. I see Brian, there he is, yeah. My couple back there that helps me. There's this couple, and they work out, and you can tell they work out because they're like big, you know. And they came up to me and they said, Pastor Casey, you teach us on Sunday morning, but let me teach you in here. Your technique is wrong, you know. And I'm like, hey, you can help me all you want, all right? Thank you, Brian and Carrie, appreciate it, all right? But I like to work out, and I have learned several things about me in the health club. First and foremost, I don't like going to the second story of my health club, because the second story has nothing but cardio. I hate cardio. I hate it. I hate watching the Peloton bike commercial. I get wore out watching them ride their bike. Who in their right mind? Now, I mean, look, all right, I'm making fun, all right? But please, if you have a Peloton at home and pay $10,000 for a bike that you ride for an hour by yourself in a room by yourself, then that's what you like, all right? But that's not what I like, all right? Man, that's just not fun to me. I like working out. I like talking. I like lifting weights. And when you lift weights, what you're doing is you're literally tearing your muscle. And I have found that God made our bodies, the human spirit, the muscle, to be very resilient. So you go to the gym, you do bench press, and you rip your chest apart. You do biceps, you rip your biceps apart. And the goal is for that muscle to recover, and before it starts recovering, you eat a bunch of protein, you go to your Total Fitness right here on the corner right here, and you get a bunch of plant-based protein, you know, and you start taking all the protein, and when the muscle grows back, there's new growth in there, and you do it over and over again, and the goal is that muscle to get bigger. Now, I have found that if you take steroids, it does help the recovery process, all right? No, I'm kidding. Don't do steroids, all right? It does really help, but I don't know. I mean, you can definitely look at me and tell I have never taken steroids, all right? I have heard about it. But the faster you can recover, the sooner you can get back to bench press or to curls. And that's what resiliency is. Write this down. It's the power to return to the original position after being bent, compressed, or stretched. Leave that up there. I want y'all to see that. It's being resilient. It's being able to return after I've been bent, after I've been compressed, after something was difficult, after I've been stretched beyond my human nature. I'm able to respond, to recover. For me personally, I like to define resiliency as the ability to spring back into shape. It's this ability to recover from difficulties. And in Exodus chapter 14, if you know the story of the children of Israel, this was a pivotal part in the history of the nation of Israel. For 400 years up to this moment, the children of Israel had been enslaved to an evil, narcissistic dictator. You think your work environment is toxic and difficult? Try working as a slave to the evil, narcissistic Pharaoh, okay? And here they were as slaves for hundreds of years. You can think about all the unrealistic and inhuman pressures to produce. You think about all the pain, and I can't help to think about all the oppression that they must have been carrying. Forced to live their life separated from their own desires. Forced to live their life separated from their own dreams and aspirations to maybe having a family or having their own business. Forced to work a job that they didn't even get paid to do. Forced to do a job where they didn't even have enough resources. Talk about difficult. The children of Israel were the poster children for resiliency. You'd have to agree with me. They were resilient when they were slaves. They were resilient when they were oppressed. They were resilient when they didn't have enough resources. In fact, the more and more Pharaoh oppressed the children of Israel, they multiplied and grew. You know what that means? That means true love right there. You may not be happy at work, but you're happy at home. Come on, somebody. Come on, let's read between the lines, all right? That's resiliency. That's resiliency. One foot after another. They were resilient. And some of you have experienced things in your life and in 2019 that would have made other people quit. That would have made other people quit on their purpose of God, quit on going to church, but you didn't. After all you have faced in 2019, you're here. Yeah. After all you face, after all the pain, the oppression, the mistakes of somebody else, guess what, sister? You are here at church. You're in your right mind, at least I pray you are. You're walking, you're breathing, you just participated in some amazing worship, and now you're listening to the Word of God. After all that, come on, get the revelation here. After all that, you're still cute. After all that, you're desirable. After all that, you're in love with God. After all that, you're not bitter, you're not angry, you're not mad. After all that, you're at the 12 o'clock service right here on January 5th, 2020, amen. After all that. Now, I got to tell you, there's some things that happened to me in 2019 that I could be really ticked off about. There were some things that happened to me that would just make the average person bitter, the average person quit. There were some things that happened to me and Stacy in the church that really, to be honest with you, just made us want to quit being in the ministry. Let's just go and work in the world and just make money. But after all that, We didn't quit. Last week, my wife and I were spending some time together talking about 2019, the goods, the bads, and the uglies. And, you know, there's a lot of good things that God did in 2019. Our SHE conference, Kingdom Builders, our growth track that we launched. So many things happened last year that were great. But there were some bads. There were some mistakes made. There were some times where we dropped the ball as a church. There were some times where we maybe didn't respond the way that we were supposed to someone who was upset, or and you know, our humanity got the best of us, all right? There were some uglies. There were some things that, man, we wish we could take back. And we were talking about them, and Stacy paid me the highest compliment I believe I could have ever received where I am in my life. She said, you know, I know over the last several years we've seen some tough things as a church, and we've had a lot of transition with staff and this, but something I noticed in you this past year, you bounced back a lot quicker. You've recovered a lot quicker than I've ever seen you recover before. And I love that. She said, I notice you've bounced back and you're recovering faster when maybe you get a negative email, or you hear about this family leaving the church, or this thing didn't financially happen the way that you thought it was going to happen, or we're not where we want to be as a church, and our expansion and our children's ministry growth and our Fayetteville campus. You know, I notice that you've bounced back a little faster. And I said, thank you so much for seeing that in me. Anything else you want to tell me how great I am? Keep it coming, baby girl. You know, come on now. But I was reminded of the scripture in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. Come on, get this into your spirit. It says, a godly man may fall seven times, but he doesn't stay on the mat, but he gets back up. I may fall, I may make some mistakes, and listen to me, you are. In 2020, you're going to make some mistakes. You're going to sin. You're going to say things the wrong way. You're going to make some poor decisions. But don't you dare stay on the mat. You pick yourself up, and you keep on going with God, amen? Because he's not going to quit on you. He is not going to quit on you. He'll never quit on you. He knows we're imperfect. He knows we need him. A righteous person, a righteous woman, a righteous man may fall seven times, but we're going to get back up. We're going to be resilient. We're going to live to fight another year. Amen. And that is my heart and my passion. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. And Pharaoh finally lets the Israelites go. Reluctantly, he lets them go. His labor from developing and building his Mecca palace is now fleeing and running towards the promised land. And what happens in the text is so interesting, that God has Moses lead them on a way that's not the most efficient. It's not the fastest route. Have you ever been driving with someone and you know the fastest point from A to B is a straight line, and they go way around and you think, where are you going? Oh, well, this is the way I go. No, girl or boy, all right, you can go this way, you know, and it just frustrates me. And it would think that God didn't listen to Siri. Like, no, Siri, what's the fastest route from here to my gym? I don't want to go to Fayetteville to go to the other side of Rogers, you know. I want to go straight there. But God had a purpose for this. He had a purpose for this. And sometimes in our humanity, we can't understand maybe a different route when in our minds we think, oh, we should go that way. And God sent them on a different route. And the Lord said to Moses, I love that. Man, that's good when you can hear the voice of God. And that's what I pray over the next 21 days, because we've launched and kicked off our 21 days of fasting today, prayer and fasting. Tonight we'll be in Springdale with our night of more. I would encourage you to be there. Go online for details. But I pray over the next 21 days that you'll quiet all the other voices, because there's a lot of voices out there speaking and trying to get your attention, and you'll be able to hear the voice of God. And the Lord said to Moses, thank God Moses could hear his voice, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. And they are to encamp by the sea directly opposite of Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them. So here's the picture. Instead of going directly to the Red Sea, God had them go a different route, which to Pharaoh would appear that the Israelites were lost, that the Israelites were hemmed in. That here's the Red Sea and here's Pharaoh. Oh, we got them now. We're going to get them back. But God had a different plan. And scripture says that Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he gathered up 600 of his best chariots. In fact, not only 600, but the Bible says right here in Exodus chapter 14 that other chariots joined, and they pursued the Israelites. They pursued them. Can you imagine the rumble? Have you ever seen a horse run across a field, and you can hear one horse, his hooves hitting the earth, and it just rumbles the earth? Imagine 600 chariots and horses and the wheel and the iron, the noise, the breathing. Imagine that, plus 600. Imagine the fear that struck in the hearts of the Israelites. And this is what the Bible says. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. After all that, this is how it's going to end? At least that's what I would be thinking, right, God? You led me out of that to die out here. This is not how it's supposed to be. Then they turned on Moses and began to rail their leader, the man who gave up his position as a son in Pharaoh's house to lead them into the promised land. They began to turn on Moses, and they said in verse 11, Moses, why did you do this to us? We would prefer to be slaves under Pharaoh than to be walking towards freedom and die out here. That baffles me. Hopefully you don't say that. I'd rather be a slave in the house of Pharaoh than to walk towards the freedom that God has for me. In verse 13, it says, Moses answered the people. Finally, a voice of reason speaks up. Finally, a voice that's committed to speaking God's voice. And let me say something to you. In 2020, if you want it to be different than 2019, you better make sure you have the right voices speaking into your ears. Amen. You better make sure you have at least one or two people speaking God's voice prophetically over your life. That's why we have altar ministry after each service, because you could get a word from God that could change your life forever. That's why I would encourage you to be consistent with coming to church and be faithful every Sunday morning. Get into a life group. Get into a group of people that are speaking God's voice and his word over your life, because you're going to need it. There's going to be a time where you want to throw in the towel, when you want to quit because you are fearing what you are hearing, and you're going to need to hear God's voice. And Moses answered the people. Here it is. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. Stand firm. Just stand firm right now. That's all I want you to do. Stand firm and you will see. Come on, somebody say it. I will see the goodness of the Lord in 2020. Amen. I will see the deliverance of the Lord. He said, you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, The enemy that you see today, that's striking fear in your heart today, you will never see again. Amen? In other words, the things that has kicked your teeth in 2019, you will see deliverance of that in 2020. Amen? Come on, somebody get a hold to that and start proclaiming that over your life. You won't see him again. He said, the Lord will fight for you. And you'll need only to be still. Then the Lord had a little moment with Moses. So unique to me. The Lord said to Moses, and I don't know if the people could hear it. I'm assuming they didn't. He says, but why are you crying out to me? In other words, you know the power that you've been walking in over the last several weeks, right? Well, why are you stopping right now and complaining? Maybe Moses was a little fearful of the sounds of the chariots. Maybe he was giving in to some of the peer pressure. Moses, why did you lead us out here? And God says, hold up right there. Stop. No. You stop all that complaining. Stop all that crying. And I want you to tell the Israelites, watch this. I want you to tell the Israelites to do what? To what? Key point, church, write this down. Here's the first point I want to make. God is speaking to you and telling you to stop looking at 2019 and start looking to 2020 and move on. Amen? Now, I'm not saying don't grieve. Some of you need to grieve. You need to properly grieve over loss that happened to you in 2019. Some of you need healing. Some of you need spiritual healing. Some of you need emotional healing. I'm not saying don't get that, all right? I'm saying you get that. But don't you stop. Don't stop. When you break camp, when you say, let's go, then you move on from 2019 because 2020 awaits you. Your miracles await you. God's blessings in your life await you. Don't keep looking back. In their eyes, they were looking back. Oh, we had it better as slaves. We had food on the table, and we were taken care of. They kept looking back. No, move on. It's time to move on. It's time to move on. I love how David says to move on. And I believe he was having a moment where he was preaching to himself. He was encouraging himself after a dark moment in his life. He said this in Psalms 23:4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I'm not stopping. I'm walking through this. I am walking through this. And some of you are looking back at what happens to you in 2019, and you are, like the Israelites, paralyzed with fear, thinking and buying into the lie that 2020 will be no different. Some of you are looking back at the mistakes you made in 2019, and you're covered with shame. You're covered with guilt. You're covered with regret. Just looking back. Some of you are looking at yourselves and thinking that I'm the problem, and if only this would have not happened to me, and I'm the one that was done wrong too. And here's what I have come to the conclusion. Write this down. You're not perfect. Come on, I need to hear amen right there, all right? I'm not perfect, but you are better off than you think. Let me encourage you this morning. You are better off than you think. You are at church today. You're hungry. You're here. You're anticipating God to move in your life. You're better off than you think. Stop putting all that shame and guilt and condemnation back on you. God has forgiven you. If you have risen up over that sin and repented of that sin, then rise up and allow the Holy Spirit to make you resilient and fight another fight. Amen? You're better than you think. Ma'am, you're better than you think. Yes, surely you're the one to blame. But you know what? The past is the past. You're better than you think. Sir, you're better than you think. Yeah, you've made some mistakes. Let me say something about 2020. We're going to fall and make mistakes. You are. We're going to. And my prayer is that we just get back up. My prayer is like David said, I'm going to walk through. I'm not going to allow the condemnation and the guilt. I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me, and I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on. And if you don't move on, then you'll miss the miracles that God has in store for you. If you don't move on and keep looking back at 2019 at all the coulda, wouldas, and shouldas, then you're going to miss out on the breakthroughs that God has for you today and tomorrow and next week. And I'm going to prove it to you as Jason comes up on the keyboard. Don't check out on this. It's very important you get this. said, then Moses, wow, he stretched out his hand, all right? Now, in his hand, remember, he had the staff, the same staff that God said, throw down, and it turned into a snake and ate all the other snakes. The same, God's authority and power. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night, you know it was a long night, right? Hearing the horses, the chariots, and the enemy breathing down my neck, it was a long night. I would have loved for that to read, and instantly, but it didn't. Maybe God was trying to build their trust in him. Maybe God was trying to say, hey, I got you. I'm taking care of you. You let me work and do what I need to do. It said, all that night, check it out, the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. And the waters were divided. The mermaids were on one side. Nemo and Shamu the whale were over here, and they were divided. It was a strong east wind that caused this to happen. And check this out. These are for those in here that have inside shoes and outside shoes. And you know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't bend down. You don't want to bend your shoe, put a crease in it, all right? I'm talking to you. This is a good scripture for you right here. And the Israelites went through. Check it out. They went through. Everybody say went through. They went through the sea, what? On dry ground. God was so gracious to those who like to take care of their shoes because they're shoe snobs. He thought so far in detail. He blew so strong. He dried up that seabed, and they walked through on dry ground. They walked through on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Let me encourage you with this last point. God made a way. He made a way. God made a way for them to walk through something that they should not have been able to walk through on their own. Man, that excites me. And God did that for some of you in 2019. In fact, I believe God did that for all of you in 2019. There were some things in your life that if he had not blown from the east a strong wind, it would have taken you out. In fact, I'm standing on this stage preaching to you for the third time today on January 5th because I know there's been some strong east winds in my life that got me through things in 2019 that I could not have done on my own. And I know it. I know the blood that's flowing through my veins. I know my daddy's side and I know my mama's side. And I know when you put those two crazy families together that I don't have enough smartness. I don't have enough education. I don't have enough wisdom to be standing up here today. You got to admit that. You know what I'm talking about. You would have quit right in the middle and said, oh God, you'd have drowned. I would have drowned. But a strong east wind blew and made the water stand at attention. Let me say it like this. He made something that was impossible, possible. What is it in 2019 that you tried and you tried and you tried and you tried and it was impossible for you to find victory through or breakthrough? Whatever it is, put it before God and begin to ask him, now let your wind blow. And see, there's something about wind. You can't see it. You surely can feel it, and you most definitely can see its effects. And I believe we're all sitting right here because of the effects of God's strong east wind in our lives up till now. And 2020 will be no different. 2020 will be no different. East wind. Strong east wind. You hear that? You hear that? I hear it. I hear it. You know what it is? It's a strong east wind. Now, there were some things in my life in 2019 that I felt like God gave me victory over. There's some things that I used to struggle with that I don't struggle with as much. I did. My family and my wife and I in Key Point Church, we did see the goodness of God in 2019. So before I get prideful, before I beat my chest and say, look what I did, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to give God all the glory, amen. Write that down. We're going to give God the glory. We're going to give God the glory. God, I acknowledge and give you all the glory for every victory and breakthrough I experienced in 2010. Every victory that I have, every mountain that I stood upon in 2019, I didn't do it alone. Make no mistake about it. It's all about the people in my life. It's about the team that God has put together. And I am so grateful for that. I can't do it on my own. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not connected enough. To God be the glory. Amen. You bow heads with me as we close. No moving around. Very important, because here at Key Point Church, we respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to people in this room, speaking to individuals in this room, speaking to those in this room. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe what you need to do today is move on from your past. Move on from being separated from God. Move on from being removed from what we call salvation. See, the Bible's very simple about this. He says, the Bible says, if he's not number one in your life, then he's not in your life at all. And I want to give you an opportunity today to make Jesus Christ your number one. I don't care what you did last night. I don't care. If you sense the Holy Spirit challenging you in your heart right now, then this is for you. This is for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm talking about a salvation prayer. And I want us all to pray this prayer in this room right now. It's a prayer of repentance. Out loud with me, say, Jesus Christ. Come on, say, Jesus Christ. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. Help me right my wrongs. In Jesus' name, I confess you as my Lord. I'm going to say it. I confess you as my Savior. Thank you for saving me today. In Jesus' name.